Radio 4.
Week ending January the 5th. A look back at the last 7 days with David Jason, Bill Wallace, David Tate, and Sheila Stiefel.
The year of 79 is come. We give predictions grave and glum. Who'll die, retire, or get the sack is writ in old Jim's almanac. Prediction faultless testifies, the new year comes with sunny skies. And looking at the stars we see, they've all been given OBEs. The moon, from January through to May, mean low-paid workers strike for higher pay. But Jim conjoined with 5% would indicate they might as well go jump in a lake. And then in March, when springtime comes again, the lambs that gamble over field and fen soon will get the chop, like Tony Benn. By then the 5-year curse is done. Elections must be fought and won. Where once prognostications dire forced unions to hold their fire, it suddenly is understood you've never had it quite so good. And when great astral bodies come to grips, I hope we won't see Jim's eclipse.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Olivia Newton-John.
It's not been done before. Whoever thought they'd see the girl who lives next door proclaimed an OBE, but I'm the one who's destined to receive it. And the one, oh, the one most ready to believe it. Around me heard, they stood and gaped with shock, but now they've passed the word. I pinned it on my frock, 'cause I'm the first to flaunt my new regalia. I'm the first, oh, the first to show them I'm no failure.
Female singer from Melbourne with blonde hair who starred opposite John Travolta and worked for Robert Stigwood to be recommended by Malcolm Fraser for an OBE on account of her services to...
Well, this is it.
Oh, incoherently, yeah. I
mean, like this survey says, yeah. You know, the sexiest women are all over 40, aren't
they? Oh, yeah, I like women with big...
No, yeah. Over 40 years old, you dirty old git.
Oh.
You know, like your Bridget Bardot's.
Yeah, I mean, Bridget Bardot's, yeah.
And your Joan Collins's, oh. Eh? And your Ursula Andress.
Yeah, me Ursula Andresses, yeah.
I mean, I reckon women like that are sexier every time, aren't
every
they,
time,
eh? Raquel,
yeah.
Welch, Jane Fonda. Ooh. I like women over 40 every time,
yeah,
me.
Yeah, like ill misses.
Yeah, well, there's always the odd exception, isn't there, eh?
Yeah.
She is exceptionally odd. Yeah, well.
The time, 1979. The place, Britain. An obscure island 5,000 miles from torrid Tahiti. Then...
What is it?
Dunno. It come from the sky.
Oh, it's cold and wet.
It's fluffy.
I know.
But it wasn't a plague of long-haired Dovercell. It was snow. Yes, the big, big freeze. And once more, Britain comes to a standstill.
Day one.
Blizzard.
The coldest odd-numbered Saturday in a non-leap year in December since 1977.
Clacton-on-Naze is declared a disaster area.
Hello. I'm speaking to you from a field where there's snow. And it's white and sort of cold. Back to the studio.
But of course, it's the poor, dumb animals who suffer most.
Dennis Howe? Where's Dennis Howe?
Here, Prime Minister.
Look, all the roads are blocked, this town's cut off. You're supposed to be responsible for natural disasters, Dennis.
But I am, and it is.
In fact, so many roads are blocked that the lorry drivers have to call off their strike.
The blizzard continues.
The cold sets in.
A Scotsman trying to unfreeze his pipes sets fire to his kilt.
Yetis freeze to death in Hyde Park.
And brass monkeys are seen wearing athletic supports.
Day two. Clacton over Naze is declared a disaster area.
And there's still sort of snow in this field, and it's still sort of back in the studio.
New Year's Eve, and Hogmanay is celebrated in the snow.
Motorists shoot their cars rather than leave them to the press photographers.
But the British motto of a new year is no business as usual. And as the snowdrifts mount in the streets, thousands of casualties are reported among those forced to stay in and watch Bruce Forsyth's big night.
Dennis Howell is blamed.
Prime Minister, I'm going out now. I may not be back for some time.
Why, Dennis? Are you doing the right thing?
No, my train's been cancelled.
Day three.
British Rail trains are now often over an hour late, but other services are not yet back to normal.
Day four.
Dennis Howell is declared a disaster area.
Why does Britain grind to a halt after a few inches of snow? Those in authority make preparations in case it should happen again.
If it happens again, I think I'll go to the Riviera.
I think I'll go to Guadeloupe.
Holiday 79.
Finnmark. Nearly half the population speak English, but they go on holiday in the summer and leave those who speak no English whatsoever. Finnmark, where half the holidaymakers are on their second visit. They can't believe it'll be as bad this time. Yes, Finnmark, where the food is food and the hotels have doors. Finnmark's nightlife is quite nice. Clubs stay open until they close. If you prefer something more dramatic, you might catch the Skagerrak. Finnmark. For a holiday, you'll never forget.
Yeah, listen.
It seems to me that what we've...
Now, look, you guys. The president, he really is very, very worried about the way the Russians are interfering in Iran, whipping up a storm of riots, demonstrations, endangering the lives of American citizens. So, well, what exactly is happening in Iran, Kay?
Well, sir, we're continuing to support the Shah, but we have evacuated several thousand American dependents.
How many American families are there?
Shut up, David. Okay, what if Russian interference stirs up even more riots?
Oh, well, sir, we've made plans to evacuate the 7,000 American cultural advisors.
I didn't know the Shah was so interested
Shut up,
in culture.
David. Yeah, right, Kay. Yes. Now, what if the Russians make the situation even more dangerous?
Ah, well, we do have contingency plans to airlift out the 9,000 American financial advisors.
7,000? Sir, do we really need 16,000?
Shut up, David. Yes, now, okay, what if the Russians actually bring down the Shah?
Well, the 11,000 American technical experts and the 13,000 military advisors will all have to be brought out.
Sir, doesn't that make 40,000?
David, once, ask me a sensible question, huh?
Yes, sir. What would we do if the Russians take over?
What would we do if the Russians take over, Kay?
Send back the 40,000 Americans, sir.
Right, yeah, we send back the 40,000 Americans.
Why, sir?
Why? Why? Because we could no longer tolerate foreign interference in Iran on such a massive scale.
Oh, but, sir, I mean, don't you think...
Shut up, David!
In this year of our Lord, 1979, I, the Shah of Iran, do undertake to smuggle no more of my money out of the country, but leave it where it is, in Switzerland.
Holiday 79.
In your dreams you've been to Andalusia. Eek, nasty, wasn't it?
Hello. I'm here to talk about the new RAF low-level flying exercise that will be starting in a week or two. Now, we've spread them out over the country, so they won't be going over the same area twice. Or if twice, certainly not four times. However, I can assure everyone that the planes won't be nearly as noisy or have made them out to be. After all, it's not as if you won't be able to hear yourself at all. Last time we held this exercise, we listened to what the public had to shout, and as one farmer pointed out, although his exact words were rather more graphic. But we've taken account of people like him, and this time we're going much more after. Also, although our pilots are flying very low, they are highly trained, and there's no danger at all that one might crash. However, if you should be bothered, simply telephone this number. Thank you, and good night. Thank you.
The minister who's in charge of health has those noble virtues that inspire us. His simple aim is doing good by stealth and securing a smallpox virus. Though many harsh words may be said and critics may reprove him, his skin is thicker even than his head. It would take a tank to move him. The dangerous pathogens advisory group know the killer bugs that they handle. Let none be called a nincompoop, lest there should be a scandal. The laws of libel still apply, though Clive and Co. may doubt it. Better much to have a million die than to make a fuss about it.
In this year of our Lord, 1979, I, David Ennals, do promise to give the National Health Service a shot in the arm and a stab in both legs.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come to the January sale with the difference. It began in December. Everything's reduced, mostly in quality. Camping equipment for those queuing early. Nicaraguan wombat fur putties reduced from £473 to only £472. Special purchase musk ox T-sexes. Limited supply only. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Pictures have been slashed and prices mounted. Hundreds of bargains for the discerning shoplifter. Everything you never knew you wanted and probably don't. And for the man with everything, a burglar alarm. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And for the first three customers suffocated in the rush, a free Tupperware iron lung for only £275 down. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Buy early for Easter. Think ahead for firework night. Don't be disappointed for St. Cecilia's Day. And remember, there's only 330 shopping days to Christmas and only 358 queuing days for our next January sale. You, we set you free.
cares?
I got one just like it last year.
So did I.
What the hell is it?
I don't know. I'm trying to put it back.
We're shocked to see from this latest article of Sir Robert Marks. For years have existed a bunch of blacklisted solicitors and clerks. They've been procuring unfair acquittals since 1973. But if this has been proved, can't they all be removed? No, alas, because you see, the facts they do distort, their help is duly bought to throw the punishment out of court, the punishment out of court. But there would be no sense in trying to drive them thence. They'd just appear in their own defense, appear in their own defense.
In this year of our Lord, 1979, I, Chairman of British Leyland, resolve that from this day forth, British Leyland shall give up completely.
In this year of our Lord, 1979, I, Margaret Thatcher, do swear that from this day forth I shall cultivate an image to win the vote of the man in the street, me, Earl Cock Sparrow.
Well, this is it, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt it.
I mean, it's bloody silly, isn't it, eh? What? Thinking about banning the drink ads on the telly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what harm does a pint or seven do you?
Well, no, I mean, it just kills your brain cells, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, you never think it, wouldn't you?
Nah.
Anyway, no, I mean, you know, these drink ads, they don't affect me.
But all the time, you're sitting at home watching telly, they are working subnormally, urging you to go down a pub.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it won't affect me.
What's that?
Well, I never see them. I'm always down a pub, aren't I?
That makes you think.
Yeah, which is it,
isn't it? Yeah.
Having another one?
No.
What's congratulate mean, Daddy?
Congratulate son, well, that means to say, well done to somebody. Who's congratulating who?
The imp is congratulating Mr. Healy.
The imp? No, that's the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. Mr. Healy got our loan from them, you see.
Oh, so it's a good thing to owe someone lots of money, then, is it?
Oh, no, son, no. Neither a borrower nor a lender be.
But Mr. Healy's a borrower and the imp is a lender.
The IMF, son.
Yes, Daddy. The lenders, Daddy.
Well, they're congratulating Mr. Healy because he's used their money to bring about an economic recovery.
What economic recovery, Daddy?
Well, new growth.
Oh, like unemployment, Daddy.
No, not that sort of growth. No.
Oh, you mean inflation then, Daddy?
No, sir. No, I do not. No, look. At least we've been paying money back to the imp, the IMF.
But, Daddy...
Or at least not borrowing any more.
Daddy?
Yes, son?
You said congratulate meant well done to someone, didn't you?
Yes, son, yes.
Was that letter you got about your overdraft a well-done letter, Daddy?
Yes. In this year of our Lord, 1979, I, Bruce Forsyth, promise that Bruce's big night out shall, from this day forth, continue to be an excuse for a big night out for a lot of people.
In this year of our Lord, 1979, I, Richard Nixon, do swear that I shall cease to tell lies after this one.
This week, it has been revealed that we have long been using an incorrect system for Chinese translation. Weekending presents the new American Chinese glossary.
Peking
becomes Beijing.
China
becomes Shanghua.
Taiwan.
Where?
Next, an illegal government whom we refuse to recognize.
Means our new Chinese buddies.
Our old Chinese buddies.
Means an illegal government whom we refuse to recognize.
The yellow peril.
Becomes 800 million potential consumers of Coca-Cola.
Our two peoples have agreed on a trade treaty.
Means our two peoples have agreed for a trade treaty.
A diplomatic reshuffle.
Means being sold down the river.
being sold down the river...
means a lot of Coca-Cola.
We will always stop Yankee imperialism.
We never said that.
We will always stop Chinese aggression.
If you never said that.
Our firm and honorable commitment to support our allies in Taiwan forever...
is now our firm and honorable commitment to support our allies in Taiwan forever.
Ever?
Is about 20 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Britain's first secular missionary, Cledwyn Hughes.
I've been a wild rover for a month and a half. Southern Africa's envoy on Britain's behalf. The message from Salisbury's the same misbelief. Only internal settlements bring express relief. And it's no, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more will I play special envoy. No, never, no more. I know, 'cause I was there.
Ah, good afternoon, Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Now, I'm glad to be able to tell you you're included on the Conservative shortlist for European MPs. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Now, there's just one little thing I should mention about wages.
You mean incomes policy?
No. Your salary.
Oh.
Now, you may have heard that they're treble that of British MPs.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. I might have, but I just want to serve the Conservative Party.
Yes. Well, and, actually...
And then...
Yes, good. Because...
And the European community.
Yes. Well,
Monetary considerations don't enter into it.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. Because, you see, they've decided you'll be paid the same as English MPs.
Ah.
Hmm. I'm afraid we've lost 5 candidates already.
Well, actually...
Terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see, it's only in Germany they get paid that much.
Ah.
Now, tell me, Mr. Smith, which constituency would you like to be considered for?
Dusseldorf, South? Possibly.
And now here is next week's news. The weekend. General Alexander Haig, vehemently denying reports that he is to run for the American presidency, warns that people spreading these scurrilous rumors cannot expect a job in his administration if he wins.
Monday. President Carter, recovering from an attack of piles, says now everybody knows why he smiles every time he stands up.
Tuesday. The woman who has discovered a 137-year-old biscuit says she would like to meet someone with some 137-year-old cheese.
Wednesday. Following the American legalization of lawyers' use of radio advertising jingles, a spokesman for a senior London legal practice says that they would advocate the same system here, if only they could find a rhyme for Wilkinson, Wilkinson, Farquharson, and Higginbottom.
Thursday. Following the rumored flight from Iran of the Shah because he claims he just needs to have a rest, rioters in Tehran who stormed the Shah's palace say they just needed shelter from the rain.
Friday. In Northamptonshire, where £10,000 worth of engagement rings were stolen from the jewelers, police say they're looking for a sex maniac with a conscience. And that is the end of next week's news.
And that is the end of this edition of Weekending, in which you heard the voices of David Jason, Bill Wallace, David Tate and Sheila Stiefel, and the music of the David Furman Trio. The script was written by Guy Jenkin, John Langdon, Richard Quick, Roger Wattis, Jeremy Brown and Barry Bowes, with further contributions from Max Alcock, Simon Rose, Jeffrey Atkinson, A Few Running Dogs of Capitalism, and the producer, Griff Rhys-Jones.